Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody! Welcome to another edition of Sports Time and Legend. I'm Ramo. Another line is Macaulay Matthew. Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna. On the other line is. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Yeah, you started the show.
Yes, we're live on the air right now as we speak, man. Perfect timing.
Hey, how's it going?
Good to have you on the show, man, and. As always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very glad for you all to be on this episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau. On today's show, we're going to talk about the big rumor, the rumor of rumors in this NBA free agency. We're going to dive right into that leading off. Then I'm going to talk about a weird day in baseball for both New York teams. The Mets, in quotation marks, celebrating the 69, the 50th anniversary of the 69 World Champion Met team, and how the current team, paid homage to the legendary men who suit up, in the orange and blue 50 years ago. In their presence. We'll get into that. And then, of course, London calling you. You had the Yankees and their arch rival, Boston Red Sox, battling it out like if it's a football game in the UK, a slugfest, as the Yankees versus the Red Sox, you would assume, but even more so. We'll get into that as well. We'll also talk about WWE with their big news, shaking things up, hiring Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff, a blast to the past of the ruthless aggression era in WWE. We're going to definitely dive into that, of course. And most importantly, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to, call in and, keep an eye out if you guys would like to call in, with that said, let's just dive into the big story, and that's free agency, man. It's starting early tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Free agency starts.
Oh, and, yeah, the big day for a lot of free agents.
Oh yeah, but here's the biggest rumor. Well, as we all know, Kawhi Leonard is rumored to be re-signing with Raptors. Joining forces with LeBron and Anthony Davis, signing with the Clippers, and then you got Durant possibly re-signing with the Warriors, signing with the Nets, or in this crazy, insane scenario, the biggest news that came down today is that the top two free agents. Two-time, NBA final champion winners, Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant, possibly joining forces in either with the Clippers or, dare I say, drum roll please, the New York Knicks. Now, as you've been listening to this show for the past 10 years, and especially in these past couple of years, especially a fan of the teams that I root for, I've got my hopes up a lot of times and trust me, I'm gonna get into that about the 69 Mets celebration today in a few minutes. So I know from firsthand experience to not get your hopes up when it comes to big time free agents like LeBron James or Durant when he was free before he signed with the Warriors and basically won the two titles. And I'm being cautiously optimistic. I mean, if they could sign Kawhi Leonard, man, that would be amazing. And then I'm on the fence with the Durant. You know, I want Durant on the Knicks, but that's too much money, and you know, I don't know if he's going to be back to the way he is, but I can't fault the Knicks if they want to take that huge risk, because if he bounced back to the guy who he's supposed to be, even though the odds are against him, and I should be slapping myself for saying that, because right now I'm stuck with Cano, you know, don't you know, but you know what I'm saying? And of course, I have a huge history with all the teams I root for. You make a huge gamble for, you know, a future Hall of Fame guy, and you want to get him on the team, or at least a all-star type player in Antonio McDyess or Amari Stoudemire with the Knicks. So going after Durant, you know, a guy who hasn't been injured prior to this postseason, it's a huge risk, but you can't. I think that's a risk you have to take. I mean, you got to go after Kawhi Leonard, hands down. But I think they should try to pursue Durant. You know, because if he does come back to the Durantula, you know what I mean, you got two Hall of Fame guys that could anchor the staff, and you're gonna draw talent to you. To New York City. New York City needs to be in the spotlight again and not the laughingstock of the NBA. I think Durant is the only person that is kind of worth that risk. I mean, it ain't my money, you know, but this guy could, you know, along with Kawhi Leonard, and then you get some talented guys who's going to pay less. You know, I could understand that. I can understand either way, you know, if they don't do the move, you know, signing Durant, I understand, you know, it's a big risk. And I know you, I mean, I'm going to let you talk. I mean, I know how you feel, but I'm going to let you say it in your own words. What do
Man,
you think
I don't,
about this move?
I mean, this would have been a great idea if KD did not get injured during the NBA final. Well, get injured in the Western Conference Finals.
Western Conference Finals, and then exacerbated it in the NBA Finals Game 5.
Yeah, I mean, now we don't. He might miss all of next year, when he returns, you don't even know what player he is.
Yeah,
he's gonna be, because players that return from this type of injury, they're not
the
same.
It takes 2 years. It takes you at least 2 years, because you gotta have that. You gotta have that. That you know, one, the training of going, coming back, and then, you know, once you come back, you know, you're trying to get yourself reacclimated to the thing, and you're still gonna have that fear in the back of your mind. If I do this move, I do over here, oh my goodness, I'm gonna, you know, twist my ankle or throw my ACL again. You're gonna have to overcome that fear. So once you get that year down under his belt, you know, I'd say in 2 years, you know, which would be like, what, in the middle of the contract, depending on what he signed, that, you know, he could come back to the guy he was, man. And by that time, they could have a championship-caliber team built around him if, you know, excuse me, they do the right moves. I mean, I trust Perry. I trust Fizdale, you know, despite their losing record, because, you know, you could see they have a plan. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, that's probably, other than Donnie Walsh, I probably haven't given somebody, I did trust Phil Jackson to see what he was going to do, but obviously that blew up in our face. But, like, you know, other than Donnie Walsh, the most credible guy they had in the, running their organization was, you know, Dave Chekits. You know what I'm saying? So I think Scott Perry, you know, he, you know, I you can see he has a game plan. So hopefully, you know, they'll be able to lure guys to come here, star players to come over here and turn this franchise around.
It's a big risk. I mean, if they sign KD, it's a big risk that they're taking. And Kawhi,
well,
I don't mind.
Agree.
You know, I would love to have Kawhi, but KD, I don't know. I don't know if I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm on the fence of KD because obviously I wanted it to happen from Jump Street. But if you don't sign him and he bounces back, you know, that's a missed opportunity. You know, it's a risk. Either way you look at it, it's a risk. Either way you look at it. That's how desperate the Knicks organization is, man. We're trying to lure a guy who's injured, who might not even come back to the way he is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're desperate. I mean, what can we say, man? That should be the Knicks slogan for next year. We're desperate. Please come with us. Come to the Garden. Please. That should be our slogan. But, yeah, man. And, of course, you know, the big plan was getting KD and Kyrie, you know. And like we've always said, you know, Kyrie is a great player, you know, but he's injury prone. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a guy, like, he's a, you know, he's like a 1A type player. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't be the biggest draw you get. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I'm not even feeling for you know, Kyrie Irving to come, because from the end of the day, when KD was healthy, I only wanted him to come if KD came. But, you know, as of right now, the rumors is that he's hell bent on going to Brooklyn. Because he grew up
looks like that.
A Nets fan in, you know, when they were in Jersey, since, you know, he's a New Jersey native. So, yeah, man, like, but I think that, you know, those moves make sense. Well, the move to me that doesn't make no sense whatsoever is Kawhi Leonard going to the Lakers. Like, dude, you won two MVPs. You won two titles with two different franchises, the Spurs and with the Raptors. You don't need to be LeBron James' second fiddle. Like, come on, dude. Like, you did it without him. You don't need to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, and be in LeBron's shadow.
He's going to be in LeBron's shadow, just like LeBron, you know, was, in my opinion, Dwayne Wade's shadow, even though he was the best player in the game. And why do I say that? You're like, what are you talking about? LeBron James is the best player in the game, and he was the best player on the Heat. Yes, he was, but he was on Dwayne Wade's team. He was on Dwayne Wade's team that he won a title with the Heat in 06. To me, that's the perfect example. LeBron going to Dwayne Wade's Heat was A-Rod going to the Yankees. Those two of those franchises proved that they could win a title with their homegrown future Hall of Famer player. So they didn't need the other Hall of Fame guy to put them over the top. You know what I'm saying? Because they proved themselves. You know what I mean? LeBron going to the Heat, obviously he was a huge piece, major piece of them winning that title. I take nothing away from him. He did the job. He won the titles. He was the man. On paper, he was the man. But unfortunately, when you go to a team where a guy already won a title and he's a homegrown guy, it doesn't matter how many points you score, or in A-Rod's case, how many home runs you hit. You got to have respect for the man who built the foundation of the title before you even step foot. Look at Earl the Pearl Monroe. Guy was a phenomenal player. Great scorer, one of the greatest scorers of all time. They nicknamed him Black Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But when he came to the Knicks, when he got traded to the Knicks, he gave, you know, Walt Clyde Frazier and that 70 championship team respect. He put his scoring prowess on shackles just so you could fit that team game so you could get the ring. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do to win a title. You got to respect the guy. You got to bow down to the person who won the title. You can't usurp the guy who won a title, who just won the title with the team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. if Kawhi Leonard comes, it might even be worse than Durant going to Golden State or LeBron taking his talent out of Cleveland to go to Miami. You know what I'm saying? Kawhi Leonard is better than that.
Yes, he shouldn't. I mean, it would make no sense to go to LA and the team wouldn't have to rely on him carrying him since they would have LeBron and AD, you know, so he'd have to do less work. But
yes, of course, obviously. Yeah, but him and KD or another star player could go to the Clippers, which, I mean, they've never won a title, but to me it doesn't make sense to go to the Clippers, you know, because they're going to be in the shadow of L.A., you know.
Yeah.
They're not going to be the top team in L.A. They're going to be the third class citizen in their town because you got the Warriors, who obviously, you know, Klay Thompson is hurt, and, you know, they might lose Durant. And then, of course, the Lakers, the darling of you know, the NBA in California. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't make sense for me, in my opinion, for them to go to Clippers, even though they are building a franchise who never won a title, which I would respect that. It would make more sense to me that they would go to New York, a team that has the history, but unfortunately they've been on hard times. For decades, you know what I'm saying? So, to me, if you want to build your brand and, you know, be a guy who's a savior. I mean, you know, Kawhi Leonard already proved it with the Raptors. You know what I'm saying? He took the Raptors to a level that they've never been to. So, I give him props for that. But he don't have to bow down to LeBron and try to win a title. That's why there's no rumors with Durant going to the Lakers. Because the rumor is that Durant doesn't want to, even though he did essentially do that with Curry, he went to the Warriors. He's not going to do that for LeBron. I mean, obviously he didn't sign on the dotted line yet, so we don't know where he's going. But I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're 35 minutes until free agency.
It was supposed to be midnight. It was supposed to be midnight July 1st, but they changed it to June 30th, 6 p.m.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, 6 p.m. tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, 6 p.m. tomorrow. Because it was supposed to be, it was originally July 1st, July 1st midnight that the free agency would start, but they started 6 hours earlier. On tomorrow.
Okay.
So yeah, that's when the free agency is gonna start, and we'll see where Durant, you know, Kyrie Irving, you know, Leonard, Kimball Walker, Jimmy Butler, where they're gonna go, the rest of the cast. And then
sounds
of course,
like Kimball Walker's gonna go to Celtics.
Yeah, definitely looks like that because I think he's in Boston right now. Yeah, I think that looks like that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler, there's rumors he might go to the Lakers or stay with the 76ers, which would be a good move for him if he stayed with 76ers. You know, he trusts the process. You know, he's, you know, a guy who's built for, you know, one of the big markets like, you know, New York or, you know, Boston or and, of course, currently with the 76ers, Philadelphia. So, I mean, it's a good spot for him, in my opinion. But, yeah, we'll see what happens soon enough, at the earliest tomorrow. Because the free agency is a lot more interesting than the NBA regular season these past couple of years. Because all these teams, you know who's going to make it to the playoffs. I mean, we just know it, like – for the past couple of years, it was prior to LeBron signing with the Lakers, I mean, you know it's going to be Lakers and Lakers and Warriors and Cavaliers basically battling it out.
Well, this year was exciting, you know, though. This year with LeBron going to the West, where you don't have Cavs going to the finals every year. I thought it was a great year for the NBA.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was definitely unpredictable. It was definitely unpredictable. Other than the Warriors, you know, and the East side, with like you said, with LeBron leaving the East, it opened it up for everybody. It was very interesting to see who could come out of that side, the Eastern Conference side. And who would have known the Warriors would have been bitten by the injury bug. So, you know. Yeah, it was definitely once in a lifetime season, man. Definitely a season for the ages, with the Raptors upsetting the Warriors. But shifting gears, this weekend is the Mets are celebrating the 50th anniversary of their first ever championship team, the Miracle 1969 Mets. And they had a lot of guys, you know, from the 69 teams who are still with us right now. You know, they were able to come, you know, and be honored earlier today. Jerry Kuzman was there, Jerry Grody, the catcher, Ron Swoboda, Ed Cranepool. The list goes on. Obviously, the most notable absence was Nolan Ryan. And Tom Seaver, because, of course, as, I've mentioned several times, you know, on this show and on the YouTube show, Sports of the Legend TV, Tom Seaver retired from public, you know, appearing in the public because, you know, he's battling dementia. So him and his wife, Nancy, weren't able to go to the ceremony, which started with the Mets officially changing their address to 41 Seaver Way on Thursday. And, Friday they, they blew the ball. I mean, what can I say? The Mets, they've lost seven straight. You know, you thought, you know, with them celebrating, you know, the 50th anniversary of the 69 Mets team, the team that literally changed the world forever, especially the baseball world, because 69 was a crazy time in America and in the world overall. You know, you had the Woodstock, you had man walking on the moon for the first time ever. Unfortunately, you had the Manson murder, you know, at that time.
Stonewall.
Yeah, there was a bunch of stuff happening in the world, you know, at that time. And then, of course, you know, 68, you know, the world was still reeling from, you know, the civil rights movement, you know, Martin Luther King, RFK getting killed, you know, a lot of civil rights leader being killed, you know, in that era, you know, in that decade. So, yeah, 69 was, you know, very like a turning point to how the world is today. So to see the Mets, you know, win not only become a 100-win team, but actually make it to the playoffs and win the World Series. I mean, that's the only way I could equate it was Casey Stengel, you know, the former Yankee and the first ever Met manager. He jokingly said that the Mets would finally win the World Series when man walks on the moon. And that's literally what happened in 69. So a lot of crazy things happened in 69. And then, of course, I'd even mention this. The Jets won their first title. The 68 Jet team won in January of 1969. The Knicks team, they started their season in 69, and then they won in 1970. So literally in the calendar year, you had my three favorite teams winning their first ever championships. And unfortunately for the Jets, that's their only championship so far. You know, three teams winning their first ever title in historic fashion. So, yeah, it just shows you what amazing year it was and the time it was to be in New York at that time. Obviously, I wasn't old enough to see that, but yeah, but I digress. So basically, the Mets, they've literally every game in this on the road, the last seven games, they've been swept, got humiliated. They've had leads. They've had at least two-run leads, with the exception of today. They've had at least a two-run lead, and once they get to the bullpen, their bullpen blows it, and the Mets lose. You know, and I mean it. To have it for that recipe of disaster to continue on, you know, at the celebration earlier today, it's just nauseating. I mean, I can't say I didn't expect it to happen, because when it's a big game, when the pressure's on the Mets, you know, they choke, man, in recent history. But when you don't expect them to do anything, that's when they do amazing things. But yeah, in front of the 69 Met team, man, it was such a beautiful ceremony, you know, reminiscent of the last day at Shea Stadium, when all the legendary players, you know, from their past came, you know, to, you know, bid Shea Stadium farewell in 2008. They had a beautiful ceremony. And then, of course, you know, the Mets get their butt kicked. I think, if I'm remembering right, the Shea Stadium farewell happened immediately after the Mets got eliminated, and with that second collapse in 08. And then they had the wonderful ceremony, which was, you know, very somber in a way. But this time they started the ceremony before the game. Ed Cranepool even, like, was giving an encouraging word to the current team, saying, you know, like, you know, they have 80 games, you know, left in the season. You know, anything's possible, stuff like that. He was giving an encouraging word to the current team. And then the team, man, they just laid another egg, man. They had the lead, and Lugo just gave up the lead again. He pitched well the first inning, blew the game in the second inning of work, when he tried to complete the second inning of work. And it's just disgusting, man. The Mets got swept in Philadelphia. They come home, they lose the first two games, and, you know, they're on a seven-game losing streak. And the Mets got to fire Mickey Callaway. I mean, it's just as simple as that, man. Like, I don't even know what else to say, man. They're an embarrassment, man. I don't even know what to say. Pete Alonso and you know, who has, what, 28 home runs this year, you know, he's shattered the Met rookie record already from you know, Darryl Strawberry, and I think he's tied for the most home runs for a rookie, you know, before the month of July 1st. So he's doing historical things. And then you have Nick Neal, who's hitting .340. He's like, what, second or third on the NL batting title. And then you have DeGrom, who's pitching well, but unfortunately his record is 4-7, because the trend of the Mets blowing his leads, it continues this year. And I mean, it's just a joke, man. What's your thoughts on the Mets? I mean, as an outsider looking in.
Man, the Mets bullpen is horrible, man.
That's a compliment.
Edwin Diaz.
That's a compliment. That's a compliment.
I mean, they're blowing games at a historic pace.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox have a horrible bullpen also, you know,
yep.
And they're blowing games left and right. But every time I watch a highlight, the Mets are blowing a game.
Yes.
You know, it's crazy.
It is.
You know, but Edwin Diaz, yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked out with him, you know, and maybe it's just an off year, who knows, but he hasn't been that great. And Robinson Cano, man.
Oh, my God. What a boy. What history told me not to. They should never make that trade. And I, me, like an idiot, I'm like, hey, you know, Robinson Cano, you know, he hit pretty well the second half when, you know, he came off the steroid situation.
you know, hey, let's give him a shot, even though he's 36 years old. Hooray!
But, of course, this guy, man, he's just like every other second baseman they got. Roberto Alomar, Carlos Bayarga, I mean, you name it. Any second baseman, Juan Samuel, I mean, whoever second baseman, Roberto Alomar. Did I even mention Roberto Alomar? I mean, that should have been the first person I should have mentioned. Like, every time they get a Hall of Fame second baseman, they bring him to the New York Mets. I mean, he forgets his glove. He forgets to bring his glove to New York. I mean, I just don't get it.
And his bat.
His bat. The bat is the most shocking thing. Like, Robinson Cano never, I mean, like, I don't even know what to say, man. Like, he forgot how to hit. The dude forgot how to hit. I guess that's why John Sterling always said, Robinson Cano, don't you know? Well, apparently he forgot because he don't know how to hit no more. Like, come on. Jeez, man. That's, and then they give up,
like,
their,
maybe he's
they give
injured
their
still?
Best
Who knows?
Prospect. They give up their best prospect, Jared Kelenic. The guy, he's going to make the minor league all-star, the futures game. The other guy, Justin Dunn, a pitcher they traded in that trade, he's making the futures game as well. You know what I'm saying? Anthony Kay, a guy they got in their system, he's in AAA now. He's making the futures game for the Mets. You know, so congratulations to him. Pete Alonso, he's literally the saving grace of the Mets. You know, along with Jeff McNeil. You know, he's gonna participate in the home run derby, you know, and apparently he's going to donate his $1 million check if he wins for the wounded soldiers fund. So, you know, that's a good way to give back if he does win. But I'm hoping, man, I'm hoping that this guy does not change his swing, not even one iota, because this guy is a natural slugger. He doesn't you know what I'm saying? He's not like David Wright, who's a, you know, like a 20, 25 home run, you know, the ceiling 30 home run guy. This guy is a natural slugger. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if he doesn't need to mess with his swing, because if he messes with his swing, I mean, he's not gonna catch Aaron Judge's record, you know, the 52 home runs, and he's on pace for it right now as we speak. He has what, 28 home runs, and he's a few home runs away from Mark McGwire's rookie record in the first half. Mark McGwire has 33 before the All-Star break. So, you know, hopefully Alonso could stay healthy. But yeah, this team is horrible, man. There's nothing more I could say about the Mets, man. They need to fire Mickey Callaway, and it's just a joke.
If you fire him, it's not gonna fire. They're not gonna fire him now. They're gonna wait until after the season to do it, if they do it.
Right. Moving on to the Yankees quickly. The Yankees, you know, they're in London. They whooped on the Red Sox behind. Final score 17-3. And 17-13. What did I say?
3.
Oh, I said the 3. My bad. I meant 13. In my mind, I thought I said 13. My bad. Yeah.
I wish it was 3.
Yeah, both the starters, Tanaka and Porcello, they didn't pitch good. But I'll let you talk a little bit more about that quickly.
Yeah, it was the first MLB game in the UK and outside the US, well, other than Canada. But they played it in London in front of 60,000 people. Had to bring dirt from different places to create the field. It played on AstroTurf. Balls flying all over the place, which led to so many runs being scored. Both pitchers.
Man.
Left the game in the first inning. And, yeah, man, it was a crazy game, but Yankees ended up winning it 17-13 with a lot of home runs, hits, walks. Unfortunately, for the Yankees, Luke Voit, he got injured. Looks like he went out with a quad muscle injury or something. So hopefully that's not so serious because the Yankees have had a lot of injuries this year. So hopefully he's not out for a long time. But, yeah, man,
right.
The Yankees continue to roll. And, you know, right now they're looking like they're the best team in baseball behind the Dodgers right now. So continue to roll on.
Yeah, you ain't lying, man. I mean, this is first time in England. I mean, the baseball's been, you know, they're trying to spread the game all over the world. You know, they've played in Mexico City, Japan. Yeah, Ichiro even played his last game in the majors against, you know, I think the A's in Japan to retire his career. So they're really trying to spread the game all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
The fandom. And lastly, organization that's trying to resurrect their fan base is, of course, WWE. And, you know, the best way they did it was by hiring Paul Heyman to run Raw and Eric Bischoff to run SmackDown. As you all know, if you're wrestling fans, Paul Heyman, you know, before being the advocate for Brock Lesnar since 2002, he's worked behind the scenes with SmackDown, and of course prior to that he was running ECW, you know, that hardcore wrestling company from Philadelphia. And then, of course, you know, on the other side, Eric Bischoff, you know, he ran WCW, the Atlanta based company, which for 82 weeks in a row from 96 to 98, they were beating up on WWE. And then, of course, you know, he was a GM for Monday Night Raw during the Ruthless Aggression / John Cena era. So, I mean, it was shocking to see him join, you know, WWE. But, yeah, if Vince McMahon gives them the green light, I think that's a great move. What's your thoughts quickly?
Yeah, I think it's a great move, and hopefully Vince gives them, you know, free control to do what they have to do to run the organization, make decisions.
Absolutely, man. Well, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau. I'll see you guys next time. We won't be able to do a show next Saturday, but hopefully we'll be able to do a show sometime this week. If not, we'll see you next week. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau.